Hello, everyone. It's good to be back for the third time to speak with you all again. Tonight we're going to be looking in the story of Jonah, so you can go ahead and turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah is a familiar passage. It's a familiar story to many of us. Many of us grew up in the church and learned it in Bible school. But tonight I'd like to look at Jonah in a little bit of a different facet. Jonah is four chapters long, and each chapter has a relatively independent theme of the others. Each chapter showcases and illustrates a different aspect of a Christian life. And as such, tonight we're going to be breaking down Jonah chapter by chapter, applying and analyzing each chapter individually. Because the magic of Jonah happens in its applicability. Each chapter in Jonah illustrates a point in Jonah's life where he experiences a different relationship with God. And so, no matter where we're at in our Christian walk, everybody can apply some part of their life to some part of Jonah's. And that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. But in order to know that, we have to know a little bit of the background as to the story of Jonah. Jonah is a minor prophet. He's directly to the right of Obadiah, and as such, he's not really a major movement in Israel, but he is still a part of Israel's history. The unique thing about Jonah is that his story is not about the message he gives. Jonah's chapter, Jonah's book, is not about the message he's trying to deliver to the people of Nineveh. It's more about the journey that Jonah goes on trying to get to Nineveh and trying to carry out God's tasks and the struggle that he has to do that. So if you'd like to, we can go ahead and turn to Jonah chapter 1, and I'll be reading all 17 verses just as a refresher for those of us who already know and as a introduction to those of us who are new in the faith. In verse 1 it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port, and after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid and cried out to each his own god, and they threw the cargo in the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell asleep into a deep sleep. And the captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your god, and maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish.' And then the sailors said to each other, 'Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity.' They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And so they asked him, 'Tell us who is responsible for making this trouble on us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? And from what people are you?' He answered and said, 'I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.' And this terrified them, and they said, 'What have you done?' They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and so they asked him, 'What should we do to you to make this sea calm for us?' 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea,' he replied, 'and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you.' Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased.' Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights." The first chapter of Jonah is a little bit self-explanatory. God gives Jonah a commandment. Jonah doesn't want to do it. Jonah runs away from God, and God sends him a little bit of some correction. The application here is that, well, sometimes in life, we choose willingly to run away from what God's called us to do. There are plenty of examples of commandments we have in the Bible, things that we're called to do as Christians that we simply just don't do. We don't want to do them, so we run away. We run away from our responsibilities as Christian. A good example of this is evangelism. It's something that I've struggled with for years, trying to get out there and talk to people. And oftentimes, because of fear and because of being scared of what people are going to say or think, we run away from that responsibility we have as Christians to get out and to share God's word. And in essence, that's exactly what Jonah did, because he was called to go into a very wicked place, Nineveh, one of the most wicked places in all of the known world at the time. He knew that it was going to be hard to talk to them, and so as such, he didn't want to do it, and he ran away. And we're called to not follow in Jonah's footsteps and to not make the same mistakes he did. But suppose that we do. Suppose that we slip up and we run away from our responsibilities as Christians, what do we do to get back on track? These are some of the questions that Jonah was asking himself, and his conclusion was to go to God in prayer, and that's what he does in chapter 2, is this is his prayer to God. So start with me in verse 1 of chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, and yet again I will look on your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, and the deep surrounded me. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you brought my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good, and salvation comes from the Lord." Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The implication here is that Jonah knew that he had done wrong, he knew that he had made a mistake, and he knew that he was in a very distressing time. He was in a very bad place at this time, and he knew that the only person that could help him was the holy God. The implication here is that who do we turn to whenever we're in a distressing situation? When we've messed up, who is our first person that we go to? Is it God, or is it someone else? Is it some person? Is it some television show, a self-help book we like? It ought to be the Lord, because who else has all of the answers to all of the distressing times and questions we might have in life? But after Jonah has righted himself, and after we've prayed for forgiveness and righted ourselves, the natural next step is to follow through with what we were originally commanded to do in the first place. And that's exactly where Jonah's at right now, having been reinstituted as God's prophet on land again. So in chapter 3, Jonah goes to the city of Nineveh. And skip down to verse 4. Jonah arrives in Nineveh, and it says, "On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God, and they declared a fast. All of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered in sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger so that we might not perish." And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. A lot can be said in chapter 3 about Jonah's tenacity and his following through with God's commandment after all of the problems he had already had, but more can be said for the people of Nineveh. As we've discussed earlier, Nineveh is a very wicked place. They haven't grown up knowing what's right and wrong according to God's law, and to have only one sermon be preached to them by Jonah, and immediately they realize their mistakes and turn from their ways and pray to God for forgiveness, it speaks a lot about the kind of hearts and people they were at the time that Jonah came to them. And the power behind chapter 3 is that Jonah underestimated the people of Nineveh. He underestimated their willingness to obey God's commandments, as sometimes we do with people in our lives. I'm sure I know people in my life, and you know people in your life, that we would just naturally not think would obey the gospel. And as such, sometimes we choose not to share it with them because we don't think they'll listen. And this is a great example of Jonah going through the same thing and having those people listen to him and having those people obey God, which just goes to show that you never know how people are going to react to the gospel. And it's our job to share the gospel indiscriminately and to not worry about how people are going to receive it. And we would like to just wrap the book up there. We'd like to just end it at chapter 3. I mean, Jonah's obeyed God. He's followed through with the commandments. Everybody's happy. Everybody's obeying. And everybody's all good to go. But that's not how the book works, you see, because the book also has a fourth chapter where Jonah oversteps his boundaries a little bit. Jonah chooses to assume a little too much authority. Jonah gets angry, actually, about God and about the conclusion God came to. He gets angry that God has compassion on the people of Nineveh. And in chapter 4, Jonah vocalizes his anger. Start with me in verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." At this point, Jonah is getting a little too hot for his own head. He's starting to think that he knows what the true judgment of Nineveh should be, and that God just doesn't know what he's talking about, and that God should just go ahead and destroy them because they don't deserve his compassion. And this is the part where God has to step in and teach Jonah a lesson about what anger really truly is and how deserved anger works. So pick back up in verse 4. But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" And Jonah went and sat out at a place east of the city. And there he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he became faint. And he wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have any right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I'm angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about this great city?" It's in this fourth chapter that Jonah is taught a lesson. The problem is that we don't really know how he received the lesson. The book cuts off right there. We don't know how Jonah felt about this lesson he's been taught. We don't know what he thinks of what he's been told. We have no idea. We can only go as far as to apply this information to ourselves. And the application is that oftentimes we like to input our own ideas into what God says. A prime example of this is the religious world and their musical instruments. A lot of people think that instruments enhance worship and that it's necessary for people to get a full effect in worship, although the Bible has no authority for this. It's an example of people thinking that they have higher, better judgment than God does. And there's things in our individual lives that we let slide all the time because we think that we know better than God. Things like drinking and language and gambling. And there's a whole list of things that we let slide because we think we know what's better for us than God does. But the wonderful thing about the story of Jonah is that although this is all happening in one man's life and that Jonah has this kind of dynamic character, that the wonderful thing is that not all of us have to be Jonah. Everyone is in their own position in life. Everyone happens to be in their own spot on the Christian journey. And Jonah showcases every situation in a Christian's life. Every Christian is either turning from God or with him or coming back to him. And Jonah showcases that in four different ways. And that's the beauty of the story of Jonah, is that no matter where you're at in your life, if we are running away from our responsibilities as a Christian, if we're assuming too much authority for ourselves, if we're realizing that and coming back to him and asking for repentance, or we're striving to do his will every day, Jonah has something for everyone. And I'd like to offer you this invitation that if you find yourself in any of the positions that Jonah has been in throughout these four chapters, I'd ask that you come forward and we can help you while we stand and sing.